Blog Talk Radio.
This man.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend. The football was broke, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, open the Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Nam. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from Noah to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples out here still grinding. Remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Shelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortars the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Soldiers the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The Cummins, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creator can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober. But you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, there's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff sensey. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints, and the water's vital.
I'm the Bible. I'm the Bible.
I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
All right. Sunday morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Sport of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashad. I'm one of the teachers with the ISBHBK. That's the Israelite School of Biblical History, Practical Knowledge. And we have a school location located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, and also Norfolk, Virginia. Our school in Albuquerque is located at 7710 Suite F, Bernard Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. Our school in San Antonio is at 4219 Senegate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217, being the zip code there. And then in Houston, it's at 8524 South Brazewood Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071, being the zip code there. And then in Norfolk, Virginia, we're at 2610 Grambling Street. That's 2610 Grambling Street, Norfolk, Virginia. We've actually got to like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channels. On YouTube, you can reach us at ISBHBK Live. ISBHBK Norfolk Live, or the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We ask you that you like, share, and subscribe to all of our all those channels, so that you might be informed and be able to keep up with as our classes are broadcast live or streamed live on YouTube. Okay, on Mondays and Wednesdays, starting at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The school out of Houston that does the live streams the show. Then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, you have it coming from Norfolk, Virginia, on the YouTube channels. And we actually, again, last year subscribed to them. Then on Friday nights, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the class is broadcast from Norfolk, Virginia. Then on Saturday mornings, the Sabbath morning, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain or Central Standard Time, you have the Sabbath ceremony being broadcast from our Houston location. Again, we ask you to like, share, subscribe, to be able to keep up with all of the different classes that we have going on. Regardless of if the school is on online, you can still join the classes live. Okay, you can still, if you're in the Albuquerque area, and we're trying to get our schedule together, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Mondays and Wednesdays, we're trying to get a night class going. You might be able to join us there in Albuquerque as we're trying to get those classes established. And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we do the blog talk that you're tuned into right now. Starting now, it's around 9 a.m. To 10:30 as we're trying to establish these schedules and these routines also there in the Albuquerque area. Well, all that being said, I'm joined by the brother Ahmad and his son Yeshaya out of Albuquerque. Brother Shalom, good morning.
Brother Shalom, good morning, sir.
Yahweh bless you, my Shabbat Gatham.
Yahweh
bless you, my Shabbat Gatham. All right, cool. One thing I was asked a question, and let me do something on my phone. I was asked a question through a few texts, and I appreciate the text. Again, if anybody has any questions or comments or scriptures, I welcome all texts. All right, I welcome all texts to area code 210-784-8463. Again, I welcome all texts to area code 210-784-8463. And the question I was asked, or the statement question I was said was, Shalom, brother. Good morning. I want to ask you a question. When you have time, can you send me a couple of scriptures or maybe a class on how to truly forgive? And I was very intrigued with this question. And I was going to just test your back directly, but I decided to go ahead and make this up. We're going to turn this to a class. I'm going and turn this into a class and to really try and get some understanding, especially as we get ready to come into the Day of Atonement, we know starting tomorrow. Is it tomorrow night?
Today is the 20th. I believe so. Yeah, tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night. We have one of our major holidays coming up. Conversations coming up called the Memorial of the Blowing the Trumpets. Right, that is a major national holiday among Israelites, where all Israelites would gather together in Jerusalem. Whereas some other high holy convocations, that you would just gather within your city. Like the weekly Sabbath, that wasn't a national gathering every week. That you had a temple within each one of your cities, and everybody would gather there for the weekly Sabbath. But then on a national scale, like for Passover, that's when all the whole nation had to gather in Jerusalem. The Passover, the Feast of the Passover, Memorial Blowing the Trumpets. What's the third one? I might have forget the third one. If somebody could please read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, just as a reminder and a review.
All right, the three. Okay. That's going to be the Pentecost and Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles.
Right, exactly.
You want to get it?
Yeah, we can please read that.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. They shall not appear before the Lord empty.
All right, cool. So we have two times a year that we actually had a national convocation. A national convocation where all male, everybody had to come together at Jerusalem. And that would be the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which would be the Passover. The Feast of Weeks, which would be Pentecost. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, which is coming up. We know right now we're about to celebrate the Memorial Blowing of Trumpets, and then going into the Day of Atonement, and then coming finally to the Feast of Tabernacles. And all these were associated with our crops. Now, all these associated with our crops. That remember, living in the land that flowed with milk and honey, the abundance of food, the abundance of vegetation, the abundance of our meals was redonkulous. It was absolutely ludicrous how much food we had, how much substance we had, that we were required three times a year to bring just a portion of our good, a portion of what the Most High blesses with from the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, and then the fall harvest, to be able to come and present that to the Most High and thank him for, the abundance. We had just so much. It really was ridiculous. To our daily offering, we had so much abundance, our daily offering, that every day we had to offer two lambs to the Most High, one in the morning, one in the evening, of a year old, without blemish. Do we ever have just that on reserve? We're talking about if we just look at the number of 600,000 footmen coming out of Egypt. You're talking about 1.2 million lambs that was offered every day, just to thank the Most High for his abundance. Not for a sin offering, not for a trespass offering, not for messing up with the Most High. Just coming and giving thanks. Just for having so much in abundance, just to give thanks. We had to offer the lambs twice a day. Then on the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, it increased to, I believe it was seven lambs. So you had the daily offering we had to give. Then each Sabbath, we had a Sabbath offering we had to give in addition to the daily offering. Now, the Sabbath offering, having to land, the new moon, beginning of the month, having to land on the Sabbath also. Then what was remarkable is that you had a new moon offering. And the new moon offering, we would had to bring the new moon offering, the Sabbath offering, and the daily offering. That it could get, it was a lot to be offered. And again, this was all outside of the realm of sin offering. It had nothing to do with your sin offering. It had nothing to do with the trespass offering. It was just you come and give an offering to the Most High, just giving him thanks for everything he's blessed us with. Giving thanks for everything that we had in abundance. Okay? So, and keeping that in mind, as we already come to the Memorial of Blowing the Trumpets, which is Israel coming back together. Matter of fact, we can do that real quick. If somebody could please read for me Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. And I lost the screen. Are y'all ready to still there?
Can you not see us? Can you see me?
Yeah, I see y'all clear, very clear. Man, it's a beautiful screen.
Are you good now?
Yeah, you're standing and you're side sitting. You saw a car pass outside? Yeah, yes.
We can see you too. Is that just for a moment?
Yeah, just for a moment.
Okay, we're good then. And you said Numbers?
Yeah, this is from Numbers chapter 10 and start of verse 1.
Yeah. Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camp.
All right, cool. So when we came out of Egypt, when our forefathers came out of Egypt, this was the Most High commission. He commissioned Moses to go ahead and have two trumpets of silver made. And I can only imagine that these trumpets were huge. That they weren't just, it wasn't your Diddy Gillespie size trumpet, whatever. That these had to have been some very huge trumpets that were made, especially for only to be two of them. The image I have in my mind is like, you might think about the picture of somebody in the Swiss Alps, and they had them very long trumpets that was too many. It would stretch down the shield, but they were long and huge, and they'd be blown, and they could be heard for miles. I can only imagine it must have been something to that aspect, because if it was just two trumpets for the calling together of the assembly of Israel. And we're talking all the tribes with everything going on. This had to be pretty intense. I mean, you got cattle, you got sheep, you got bison, you got camels, you got just the regular hustle and bustle of life. That now, for these trumpets to be blown, they had to be heard over all that. And then if a man was in his tent, he still had to be able to hear the trumpet also. And so these trumpets must have been immense. That 600,000 people, you got babies crying. You got people arguing or laughing or running and playing. Or just life. That when you heard these trumpets, you understood it was for the assembly of Israel. Okay, so they were made of silver, and they were used for the calling of the assembly and for the journeyings of the camps. All right, verse 3, please.
And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to be at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
All right, cool. So for the memorial of blowing the trumpets, it's a yearly gathering that we as Israelites have. And what we would do is we would come together, especially when we were in our land, we would come together and we would go back over all the different trumpet sounds, all the different alarm sounds, so that we understood and we remembered this is how we moved. That when we heard the sound of the trumpet, that we heard the warnings, heard the sound, that we understood it was time for Israel to gather together. And then it would get very specific about who was supposed to gather together. There'd be a trumpet sound played for all Israel to gather together. But as we're going to read, it'd be different time, different alarms that was played. Just like you might have an alarm on your phone. You might have an alarm to wake you up. There'd be different alarms that would be played to let you know, was it for all Israel? Or was it just for the cabinets of 10,000? Or was it just for the cabinets of 5,000? Or was it just for the elders of each tribe? Or, as we're going to read on, was it for all the camps on the east were about to move out? all the camps to the south, we're about to move out. Y'all going to lead the way. That it would be different alarms or different sounds played to acknowledge or to awaken or alert Israel about different things. So let's keep reading.
And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee.
And again, you got to understand that with each tribe having their own specific place in coming out of Egypt, how loud was this trumpet? That if it was only one trumpet sound or played, and whatever tune or alarm was played, that the heads of the thousands of Israel, well, they'd be the only ones to gather together. But everybody understood this sound. Everybody understood what this song meant. So every year, the seventh month, the first day of the month, all Israel would come together, and we would practice and memorize all the different sounds that we had when we came out of Egypt, to remind us, when you hear the trumpet sound, when you hear the alarm, when you hear the warning, it's time to come together. It's time to gather together. All right, reading on, sir.
Verse 5. When you blow an alarm, then the camp that lie on the east shall go forward. Verse 6. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camp that lie on the south shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. Verse 7. When the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm.
Okay.
What would the difference be? I don't want to guess what the difference is. And the alarm is the trumpet, but also it says in verse 7, he shall blow, but he shall not sound an alarm. So it's just a different sound.
Right.
It's still the trumpet, but a different sound.
I can only imagine, like, and use like the trumpet sound, if you will. And Esau's military and the United States military, when reveille is played, what's the purpose of reveille?
To wake everybody up and call it the mustard.
Exactly. So, it's time to wake up. And gather together. But in the evening, there's another trumpet sound that's played, and it's taps. And what's that letting anybody know?
The end of the evening is lights out, and all duties are to be basically brought to a halt.
Right.
You're shut down for the evening, basically,
if,
for lack of a better term.
And then, like, if we were in a war, when the United States Cavalry was conquering the Native Americans, how did everybody know when it was time to charge?
Wouldn't be the same thing as
Israel,
would it?
No, but there's an alarm, and they played a lot of sporting events.
It'd be a different sound. It'd be the same. You'd use a trumpet for whatever, but it'd be a different sound for the alarm to identify that that's an alarm, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So I can only imagine, because we don't know. I can't say exactly what the sound was or the alarm was, what happened. But when we would come together for the memorial blowing the trumpets, just in his name, it tells you the memorial. The memory of the blowing of trumpets. Well, we would get together now and practice how we was set up in Egypt, when we came out of Egypt, how we traveled, and when we heard this alarm, we heard this sound, that what it all meant, just in practice.
Okay.
Just in practice. So, again, the only way I can try and give an example about this would be, like I said, we see with United States military, they have a reveille trumpet, they have a taps trumpet, and they also had like a charge that when you hear the sound, you know it was time to charge. And it was a distinguishment, right? That was derived from us Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see. I'm getting some text.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Okay. Please go ahead. Please go ahead. I got some text.
The man is the right hand of the ram for the alarm. And then the trumpet for something else, but either way, I guess it's all relative. The main understanding is that there is an alarm sound, and then there's also a reverend sound. There's also, the sound that ceases from the duty, from shut down for the evening. And then there's, like you said, there's the sound of charge. There's all distinct sounds that definitely we know whatever sound it is, we know that sound is.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let me see here. I'm getting some text. All right, cool. So that's, again, the purpose of the morning of the trumpets is for Israelites to remember how we gather together. When we heard certain sounds, we gather together. When we heard certain things, it was a reminder that when you hear this, it's supposed to cause some type of action. That when we hear these things going on, it's supposed to remind us of something, which reminds me of. Let's get Amos chapter 3. And verse, I believe it's verse 6.
It kind of looks like it. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Shall the trumpet be blown in the city? And the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city?
Again, so when the trumpet sounded in your city, you knew it was time for we was either under attack, to prepare for war, to prepare for something, call everybody together. That when you heard the sound of the trumpet, it was supposed to cause some type of action, right? That it was very specific and unique, in what we was commanded to do. Now we know spiritually, and I try to take it here spiritually. That for a long time, we had not heard the words of the Most High to know that it was time to gather together. But now, as this gospel keeps going out, as the truth that we're the Israelites keeps going out, that's supposed to cause us that when we hear these things, we're supposed to come together. We're supposed to be gathering ourselves together. And now it's time for us to, from Zechariah 2:1, gather yourselves together. Yeah, gather together, O nation that desire. Genesis 49:1, where it says, get yourself together in the latter days, ye sons of Jacob, the heart of Israel, your father. That as we're hearing the truth now, the sound of the truth is going out. The actual sound of the Most High's word is going out that we are the Israelites. That the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, similar Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and so-called Mexicans, here in North, Central, South America, that the truth of your identity is we are members of the 12 lost tribes of Israel. And as this sound is going out, that we're the Israelites, that's supposed to ignite us, just like when our forefathers came out of Egypt, to gather together. That's supposed to cause us to the action of gather together. You're hearing this alarm. We're hearing these words. We're hearing this. It's time for us to gather together. Okay? With that, if we could please go to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1.
Cry aloud, very high. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins.
All right, cool. So here, what's being commanded to the prophets, to the teachers?
Cry aloud, very high. Lift up thy
that we're supposed to be crying aloud and sparing not and lifting up our voice like a trumpet. But now that now it's time to let our people know that to ring the alarm. We are the Israelites, and that our salvation is nearer. Our salvation is close. And it's time for us now to gather together as Israelites. It's not time for us to gather together under the truth of our nationality. And it start to now unlearn what we've learned here in the Americas, what we've learned here in our oppression, what we've learned here in our captivity. And now prepare for moving out. Prepare for our journey from this oppression, from this captivity, back to being the people of God, back to the kingdom of heaven, back to the Lord, like he saved us out of ancient Egypt. Then now we're about to journey out of this modern day Egypt back to our rightful place, back to our land of Israel, back to our ancestral homeland, which is the land of Israel. That we're about to make these journeys. That we're about to make the journey back to our heritage. Or make our journey back to our inheritance. And so as we hear the words of the Most High, like a trumpet, that when we hear these words and we hear these things, we're supposed to be gathering ourselves together. Okay? So as we gather ourselves together, let's get Luke chapter 17, verse 1. As we gather ourselves together, let's get Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Going over the scripture a lot, because as we gather together, as we as Israelites gather ourselves together and we're coming together, one thing that we have to realize is it's impossible for us to come together and we're not going to offend each other. That is utterly 100% impossible. That contrary to what has been pushed to us from religion, whether it's the Baptist, the Methodist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Seventh-day Adventist, Mormon, whatever it might be, whether it be joining a Mason house, whether it might be joining a union for a job or what have you, that it's expected that now that we're all in the Bible and we found out that we're all Israelites, that it's supposed to be a harmony and a union and a peace, and that we're all coming together. If it's a college fraternity, that we all come together and we get the tattoos and the brands, and we all accept that we're alphas or we're omegas or we're kappas or we're lambdas or whatever, and that we're all coming together as one, and that there's a peace and harmony because of this. If we come together in a gang, that we another Crypt, another Crypt, another blood, another disciple, another disciple, another Latin king, that just on that basis alone, that there's a peace amongst us, there's a truce amongst us. There's a coming together. That it's understood. We're one flag, one nation, one people, or what have you. One banner. That there's a harmony. But what we got to understand now is Israelites, that as we come together, there's going to be offenses. It's going to be impossible for us not to be able to come together and not be offended. It just can't be done. If we can read the scripture one more time, please.
Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones.
Cool. First off, I like to see it on the first part. Yeah, it's impossible that for us to now be together and that we're not going to offend each other. that I like to stress on that a lot from this scripture, from this precept, that it's impossible for us to be around one another and we're not going to be offended. We have to, that's a given. Okay, that's got to be just understood. That if we're now gathered together and we've been so scattered, we've been so far removed from the idea that we're Israelites. We've been so far removed from what does it mean to be an Israelite? What does it mean to be an Israelite? Okay, I know how to be a good American dad, but how to be a good American or Israelite dad? I know how to be a good American friend, but how do I be a good Israelite friend? I know how to be a good I know how to be a good American son, but how do I be a good Israelite son? I know how to be a good Israelite. I know how to be a good American woman, but how do I be a good Israelite woman? I know how to be a good American wife, but what does it mean to be a good Israelite wife? I know how to have sisters in a sorority. I know how to have sisters in whatever family environment I grew up in, but what does it mean to be, or how do I be a good Israelite sister? Now, these are things that we've been ignorant to. These are things that have been absolutely foreign to us. If I grew up in the church, I know how to be a good Baptist man. But how do I be a good Israelite man? I know how to be a good Lutheran man. But how do I be a good Israelite man? I know how to be a good, even if I'm in the wicked, I know what it means how to be a good witch. But how do I be a good Israelite man? If I was an atheist in the world, I know how to be a good atheist. But now I'm coming back into the understanding that I am an Israelite. Then how do I be a good Israelite man? Then now we are ignorant to these things. We don't know. So as we're coming together now and putting this together, we got to understand and know that we're going to offend each other. That's got to be understood. There's going to be offenses that we're not going to get around now, that we're learning, okay? Let's get real quick, Hosea. Oh, I ain't going to say real quick. That's the wrong term. Let's get Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Let's get Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me.
All right, cool. So the very beginning of this scripture also tells us well. We read the very beginning one more time, please.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Where are we at?
Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
So it's saying we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. What knowledge is it we're destroyed? What knowledge is that we don't have? We don't have the knowledge of how to be good Israelites. We're just coming back into the understanding that we are the Israelites. But now the knowledge of how to be a good Israelite man, friend, son, father, or husband, father, we have no clue. How to be, coming to the fact of being Israelites, how to be a good Israelite, just sister, friend, wife, or mother. We really do not have a clue. We don't have that knowledge. But now we're at a point now, we're waking up to the fact that we are the Israelites. But again, as we come together, there's going to be offenses. As we're coming together as Israelites, there's going to be offenses. As we're coming together as Israelites, we're also finding out now from Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says that, yes, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then the scripture says why we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Can we read that again?
Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge.
And what did we do first? Because every action has a reaction. Why is it that we as Israelites are destroyed for lack of knowledge?
Because thou hast rejected knowledge.
Because our, as a nation, we rejected the Most High's knowledge. While we were living in the land of Israel, we rejected the Most High's knowledge. When we were living in the land of Israel with no GMOs, living in the land of Israel with no hybrid food, living in the land of Israel without pesticides, living in the land of Israel where we were literally the term your king over your house, castle, a king over your palace. We really were kings. We really were royalty. As much as we're here in America now fighting for sovereign citizenship, guess what we had when we were in our homeland of Israel under the protection and guidance of the Most High?
Right, our own sovereignty.
We had our own sovereignty.
Right.
And there was no need to have to now to get papers or go to court to claim and state my sovereignty. We were already sovereign citizens under God in our land, where we had everything provided for us, everything. But it was during that time that we rejected God's knowledge. We rejected what God said is good. We rejected how to be good Israelites on every level. And it was about now, I'm curious about how the other nations worship their God. I'm curious about how the other nations, how they manage their affairs. And the feeling that we were being oppressed by God, they had to bring something like a daily offering. That became, in our minds, rigorous. That every day we had to get up twice a day to bring an offering to the Father. That became too rigorous. That became too much. That became too oppressive, to where we start taking the mentality that God was our enemy because we had to give thanks for everything he was providing. No different than like a son might get to that age, especially in America, in his teenage angst or teenage spirit or whatever, that the rules that are laid out in his parents' house are too rigorous. The rules that are laid out in his parents' house, where he's been provided with everything he needs, is too oppressive, is too rigorous, it's just too much. That we had the same mentality as Israelites when we were in the Promised Land. We carried that same temper tantrum mentality. That just to keep the rules, look, keep the land clean. But if then a parent might tell his children, clean up this room. You don't understand me. You don't get me. All right, you know what? You're getting to a point where you're smelling yourself. You're getting to a point where you're too grown. And we can't have this. You got to go. The rules that are in place here in this house really are for your protection. The rules that are in place in this house are for your good and for everything that you're being provided with, food, shelter, clothing, that to be asked to keep the rules of the house, that's not rigorous. To be asked to keep the rules of the house, that's not me being oppressive. That's not me being without understanding. That's not being considerate of your feelings. That this is for everything that is being provided for you. Why would you not keep some rules? For all the good you have, why would it seem like now it's being oppressive or too hard or too rigorous to keep the rules of the house? And this was the same mentality that we took with the Most High while in the Promised Land, knowing we Israelites, and all the abundance and riches and servants that we had in the Promised Land. All the non-GMO food, all the non-hybrid food, the best of health, the best of wealth, that we took on this mentality that to serve God, God is an enemy. To serve the Father, the most that he hates us, the Father has given us these rules, and that he's not taking the time to listen and understand where we're coming from. And in our mentality, just like kids would use that same mentality today, well, how come Billy, their house doesn't have to do this? How come in this in their house, they're allowed to do this, but how come I can't do it here? Well, in Billy's house, that's Billy's house. And Billy's parents are having to provide, protect, and answer for whatever Billy has going on. But in this house, these are the rules of this house. And if you want to keep enjoying the benefits and the blessings that come from that go along with being in this house, you got to keep some rules. If not, you're grown. You're more than welcome to go ahead and move out into the real world. And what a lot of parents say to children is what? You don't know what it's like. What it's really like out here. You really don't understand what it's really like out here. But you got to go out there and learn and see that the rules of my house, the rules that are being established for your protection, for your good, you got to go out there and see what a real enemy is. You got to go out here and run into a landlord that has absolutely no mercy because you didn't pay the rent, because you didn't do this, you didn't keep the rules of their place. You had to go out there and see what it's like in the real world so that you might have an appreciation for what was being provided for you. Well, this is the exact same play that's been played out with Israel and our father, the Most High. That's cool. Y'all need to go out there and let the nations attack you. Y'all need to go see how a real enemy treats you. That maybe now you might see that the rules I had established for you, the laws, statutes, commandments that I had established for you, that's not the what an enemy does. That is the Most High showing you love. But you know, you have nothing to compare it to. You have nothing to compare that how a real enemy treats you, how a real enemy does you, and that we might be able to come back and see, wow, the Most High never did that to us. All he asked was us to keep his law, keep order, keep a clean house. That's all we had to do. And look at everything he was providing for us. So, if we read that verse again, please. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6.
Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because thou art rejecting knowledge, I will also reject thee.
So, we rejected the Most High's knowledge. We rejected the Most High's ways. So, in rejecting the Most High's knowledge and rejecting the Most High's ways, the Most High also rejected us. Remember, every action causes a reaction. Why were we rejected? Because we rejected first. Reading on.
Because thou hast rejected us, I will also reject thee. Then thou shalt be no priest to me.
Right, that we're never going to teach nobody the ways of the Most High. That's why we're Baptists and Methodists and pimps and thugs and musicians and entertainers. And all we want to do is just go to work, pay my bills, and be home. That to be a priest, nah, that's too rigorous. Reading on.
Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law and God, I will also forget thy children.
So the Father said, because we rejected him, and he said, now I'm also going to read that verse again, please, tell everybody where you're at.
Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to thee, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children.
So he said he's also going to forget our children. So now our children are not growing up with the benefit of the protection of the Most High. Our children are growing up not with the benefit of the Most High looking out for our children also. to now our children. We're teaching our children not to trust in God. We're teaching them to trust in money. We're teaching them to trust in society. We're teaching them to trust in themselves, but not to trust in the words of the Most High, but not actually trust in what the instructions that the Bible gives us. We teach our children now, instead of trusting in the words and in the scriptures, trust your feelings. That if you feel something, that must be it. Go with your heart. Go with your feelings. What does your heart tell you? And now we teach our children these things, but they've not been taught to trust in the Most High. They've not been taught to trust in the words of the Most High. But that if they have a dream or a vision or something they're after, that we don't teach them, the Most High says that the heart is desperately wicked. We don't teach them that if you follow your mind and your dreams and your heart, you're going to fail. Because as a Hebrew Israelite, that's not God's purpose for you. As a Hebrew Israelite, that's not how God wants us to live as Hebrew Israelites. But we give them all these false hopes and false dreams and these false realities and actually kind of play it like being a Hebrew Israelite is false. That being a Hebrew Israelite is not a reality. So our children now have been learned to become dependent on something that is not the Most High. To become dependent on something that is not the Father. So now our children are growing up not protected. And there's a crazy cycle. But in trying to survive in this captivity, in trying to survive in this oppression, we've learned to trust in what we see. That if I got money, I can do what I want. If I got money, I can be my own person. That I need to go ahead and go to school, get a good education, so I can get a job, so I can have happiness. By the time we finish watching all the videos, and finish watching movies or whatever, that please. I can be a Floyd Mayweather Jr. I don't need to be good. Let me just be good at athletics. Let me be a good boxer, and I can survive. Look, I can make millions of dollars. There's no need to learn how to read. Hell, you got some people becoming rich just on social media. Just because you're on social media, you're famous. But you ain't did nothing. And there's a lot of our people growing up that I can do the same thing and I can make it. I can do the same thing and be protected like they are. But they're going out here without the Most High's protection. We're going out here in this world without doing those things to get the Most High to protect us. Now, I'm going over all this for a reason. I'm going over all this for a reason that we have to realize and come to some type of understanding that as our origins, where we started from here in America, none of us grew up having the knowledge of Israel. None of us grew up with the knowledge of how to be a good Israelite man, a good Israelite woman, a good Israelite anything. None of us. Many of us, if we're not first generation Israelites, no, we're Israelites, we might be second generation Israelites of finding out that we are Israelites. But as you go into the depths and the study and the establishing of what does it mean to be a good Israelite family? What does it mean to be a good Israelite, period? We're just coming to the knowledge that we Israelites. So if we're just now coming into the knowledge that we Israelites, we've got to understand that there's going to be offenses. We've got to understand that. And then what happens is, as we come into the knowledge that we're the Israelites, let's go to Let's go back to Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Let's go back to the book of Amos, chapter 3, and let's read verses 1 and 2.
Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. Say, you only have I known all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
Again, so now the Most High said, I'm going to lay out certain punishments to the Israelites. Because he's the only family that he recognized on the whole planet Earth. So we've got to go on certain punishments for our rebellion. There's going to be certain things that we're going to have to undertake because we did not want to follow God's ways or follow God's knowledge. Then now we're going to be rejected by God and not be protected by God. So let's go get a couple of those punishments. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let's read verse 15. What were going to be some of the punishments that we were going to have to undergo because we as a nation have rejected God's knowledge? Then now, as we're coming back into the knowledge that we Israelites, that there's things that we're going to have to overcome. Can we please read that? Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 15.
Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 15. But it shall come to pass that thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Okay, cool. So, in our rebellion, it was prophesied that we're rebellious to the Father, that if we were not going to hearken unto the voice of the Lord our God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, we're not going to read through all these curses, obviously not today, but let's just hit a couple of them kind of pertinent to what's going to happen in us coming together. Let's jump down to verse 54.
So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother.
So what was going to be one of the consequences that we were going to grow up in because we did not have the knowledge of the Most High? Offenses, and what was one of the offenses? Then now our eye is going to be what? Evil towards our brother. That now, from experience here in America, we learned to what? Not trust nobody. Because even for movies like Scarface, who I trust? Who I trust? Me. That's who? Me. That even little sayings they have in the world, like good guys finish last, that we've learned, because we did not have the Most High's knowledge, not to trust one another. We've learned to have an evil suspicion towards one another. We've learned you can't let your guard down for nothing. Watch everybody. This is what we've learned because of us rejecting God's knowledge, his statutes, his laws, his commandments. That now, since we've learned the ways of the nations, that now this has become a part of our mental mindset. This become ingrained in us mentally. Don't trust nobody. Because all anybody's going to do is do me wrong. That, and we can go back and think about it, that from how we grew up, my best friends did this to me, my friends did that to me, I was always made fun of, I was always picked on, I was always bullied. Everybody I ever loved walked away from me. Everybody ever loved or trusted hurt me. Then now we've grown up with this and not having the knowledge of the Most High. That's why one of the evils of living in America, just to be honest, is living in a capitalist society where you can take it, you're allowed legally to take advantage of anybody for your own personal come up. It doesn't matter who you hurt, it doesn't matter who you step on, that in this capitalist society, if you know how to get over, it is a dog-eat-dog world. You got to do for you. As opposed to all the commandments of the Most High pointing Israelites towards love, charity, and consideration for one another. Growing up here in America is very selfish, to where men learn not to trust other men, not to let nobody get close, because all they're in it for their own good. They're in it for their own benefit. They're in it for their own welfare. They really have nobody else's good at heart. If they do something for you, it's only because they're looking for something back in return. What's one of the sayings that we learn here in America? Nothing's ever free. There's no such thing as free in America. Nobody do any good just out of, that doesn't exist. So, if you read that verse one more time, please.
Verse 54. So that the man is tender among you, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the evidence of his children, she shall leave.
All right, cool. So there's a lot in this scripture right here. So in the beginning of the scripture, we're being warned that because of our avoidance, because of our rejecting of God's knowledge, of God's statutes, law, statutes, commandments, the first part of the scripture told us what? That a man's eyes should be what?
So that man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother.
His eyes be evil towards his brother. So now, we can have these different gangs. That now, because you wear another color, that's why I can kill you, because you wear another color. Because you speak a different dialect of Spanish that was given to us by the people who conquered us, that's why I can kill you. That's why I can sell drugs to you. If it's in a corporate, I can smash your business. And take it. That I can do these things because it's about my come up. As opposed to all the statute commandments of the Most High, that if there was poor among us, we're supposed to relieve them. That we're supposed to open our hand wide to any other Israelite that's in need. That's the law. Well, because we rejected that knowledge, we let greed come in, we let lust come in, we let how the nations operated. Now look at where we at. Again, now our eye is evil towards our brother. I can't trust my I don't trust no man over my woman. I don't trust no man over my kid. No, hell no. There's just no trust. There's no love. I done built these walls up. And in this modern age, good Lord, to where you can be on social media and create your own avatar. You can create your own caricature, and it doesn't have to be you. Social interaction is coming to a halt. I don't have to go out here and learn how to talk to nobody. I don't have to learn how to be somebody's friend. That, you know why? Because on Facebook, I got 1,000 friends. I can get on Snapchat. I can get in these different chat rooms. And I've got acquaintances. I can play Call of Duty and with somebody across the world, and we're not really talking. We're not really friends, but we play Call of Duty together.
Best friend in China on Call of Duty.
Right, exactly.
You're in the middle of the person.
You might not. You'll never hug them.
I
want to
visit
you when you're
broke.
Right. There'll be absolutely none.
People who I used to be friends with, they be on the internet all the time. They don't even Always on the internet playing games and stuff.
No social interaction at all. Absolutely none. It's only going to get worse as here in America time gets moves on. But it's promoting this notion, do not gather together. Because if you gather together, you're going to get hurt. If we come together, something bad's going to happen. And that is being, it's almost like it's became second nature with us Israelites now. Now, coming together, I can't trust nobody. So, a man's eyes can be evil towards his brother. Then it goes on to say what?
And toward the wife of his bosom.
And now his eye turns evil towards the wife of his bosom. Why? Did we use the Most High's law, such commandments, to pick a wife? No.
We started off
wrong. It was the whole thing started off wrong. Did she pick you because you were a good Israelite man? And she understood the virtues of a good Israelite man? No. That wasn't done. So now what are we faced with? No trust in a marriage. Because we didn't go to the Most High's ways to see what would make a good husband. What would make a good Israelite wife? Many of us growing up in this society, I only want a woman that every other man wants so that I know that I'm okay. If other men want her and I get her, that means I'm good. I'm the cast me out, and I'm not weird. I'm not an outcast because everybody wants her, and since everybody wants her, to the point where it's gotten pretty demented, the level that we've gone to, that men will hide in closets and watch their woman have sex with another man and call that love. I love my woman so much that if I can't please her, I let her go ahead and sleep with other people so she can get pleased. But at the end of the day, who's she coming home to sleep with? Me. At the end of the day, whose bed is she in? Mine. All, again, it's become very demented and very twisted. Then now, again, his eye is evil towards this woman. It shouldn't be this way, but it is. And as we're coming together, and we're getting together, oh nation, not desired, then as we're getting together, we have all these issues. As we're coming together, we have all these different issues, all these different consequences of our actions that we're having to face and put up with, that we're having to face and deal with, that we're supposed to be now getting to a point where we understand. As I'm going to continue this topic at a later date, like doing some other topics, that if we go get a clear mental picture of psychology of and trying to gather ourselves back together, how we're going to be offended. And we're coming into these relationships with baggage. We're coming into these relationships with issues. That now, in trying to work them out, there's going to be offenses. There's going to be offenses. There's going to be issues. From self-esteem issues to jealousy issues to anger issues to even the scriptures tell you that there's a bashfulness that's a sin. You're just taking low, and also, no, that's not the time to take low. But because of your fear of rejection, because of a person's fear of loneliness, I'm just going to accept this situation. I'm just, for the fear of being alone, I'm going to go ahead and go through this. And dealing with the Most High's knowledge, that doesn't have to necessarily be the case or the only option or the only answer, so that I'm not alone. So I will let a person offend me. I'll let a person do whatever. I'll let a person walk all over me because a person has got it figured out in their mind. It's better for at least I'm not by myself. So I'll let this person treat me like a redheaded stepchild. And you think about a redheaded stepchild, that'd be like an Edomite. I'm going to let a person treat me like a redheaded stepchild just so I can say I'm not alone. Just so I can say I got somebody. But these offenses that we're dealing with have been a direct result of what? In whatever case it is, it's been a direct result because we weren't using the knowledge of the Most High. We weren't taught the knowledge of the Most High. So have we been protected by the Most High? So when it comes to friends, brothers, do we have the Most High's protection in how to pick a friend? Do we have the Most High's protection in how to pick a husband? Do we have the Most High's protection in how to pick a wife? No. We were going by whatever knowledge that we was going off of that had absolutely nothing to do with God. You might have met your significant other, had your friends in church. But was church teaching you how to be a good Israelite? No. You might have became real good friends with people at work. But was that teaching you how to be a good Israelite, a good Israelite friend? What to look for in a friend? How to be a friend when you're an Israelite? Was God's knowledge being used so that you might be protected, so that your heart might be protected? No, it wasn't being used. So now we've been going through all this, just getting more and more, and more offended. Just getting more and more hurt. Just getting more and more damaged. But again, why? We have not been using, have not allowed ourselves to be taught, have not put into application the Most High's knowledge. We still reject the Most High's knowledge. We're still holding on to something. But we're not holding on to what the Most High said, this is how you be a good, whatever it might be. And we keep adding to the hurt. We keep walking through this life feeling I'm not protected. We keep walking through this life that all my life I've had to fight. And that's going to continue until we come back and start doing things the way the Most High said do things. Now, everybody might be asking, what is it going to do with forgiveness? If we don't understand the background, we don't understand how all these things got to where they are, how can you fix it? Just by saying you're Israelite doesn't automatically fix anything. This ain't no abracadabra. Because I said Israelite, that now all these things are going to disappear and dissipate. That's not how this happens. And this is where we're going to have to use forgiveness. And we're going to have to understand, we didn't even get a chance to get to the definition as time has kept upon me, that it's because of these things. Let's finish verse 54 and 56 and we out. I'll make it quick. I'll make it real quick. I got another time. Verse 54, please.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 54. So that the man that is tender upon you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave.
Was he raised to be a good Israelite father? No. So is he raising his children to be good Israelite citizens? No. So whereas for many of us, our physical fathers might have left us physically. For a lot of us, that might have grew up in the same house with a father. that father abandoned us mentally and emotionally. That father abandoned us spiritually. That father wasn't trying to get us close to the Most High. So whether it was the actual physical abandonment, or an emotional abandonment, no investment into our children at all. Or if I was a gangster, then I'm raising up another little gangster. If I'm a thug, I'm raising up another little thug. If I'm weak to my woman, I'm raising my boys to be weak to their women. If all my kids do when they come in the house is see me sitting on the couch, watch TV, if I'm raising them that this is what dads do. I'm not teaching them how to be good Israelite fathers, how to be good Israelites, period. They come in, and what's the example I set? That's doing them a disservice. Because now they're not going to be able to praise the Most High. As good Israelite parents, as good Israelite fathers, as good Israelite mothers. We got to realize now, as we're coming back together, that there is going to, that there have been many and there are many offenses that are going to take place. That goes without saying. But this is where we're going to have to now apply some forgiveness. Let's read verse 56 and get out of here.
Verse 56. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot on the ground for jealousy and tenderness, her eyes of the evil towards the husband of her bosom.
And again, what's going to get damaged and hurt? Trust. She's made wrong choices in her life about different men she's been with. So now what does she do? The man she's with now, she takes out all her pain, hurt, anger, callousness, coldness, whatever it might be, on the man she's with now. Because she's just waiting for the minute she lets her guard down, like she did with whoever else it might have been, you're going to do the same thing. So I'm going to become Queen Bee. I'm going to look out for me. I'm going to do for me. How's that, Beyonce? To the left, to the left. And now I'm not going to depend on no man for happiness, for support, or whatever. I'm going to use him for what I can get out of. Because trust has been hurt. Not from because this man hurt her, it's from all her previous relationships. Let's finish it.
Her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her foot, and toward her son, and toward her daughter. That was the end of verse 6.
Cool. So the same things that the same results that the father and that man's going through, we see the same thing going on with women. But why? Because we have rejected the Most High's knowledge. So we rejected the Most High's commandments. So now this is the consequence of these actions. But now as we're coming back together, as we gather ourselves back together, there's going to be offenses because we all grew up different ways, but we all have experienced some type of hurt, some type of pain, some type of whatever. And we don't get to a point where we can forgive. And I didn't get a chance to get into the definition, but one of the definitions for forgive is to give somebody another chance. That you're willing to give somebody another chance. So we're going to end it with that. I want to thank the father and son team of Imani and Shine. For helping me out again this morning, as they pretty much always do. They're very dependable and faithful with my in that duty right there. If you have any questions, please text me, area code 210-784-8463. Again, 210-784-8463. Tonight is Thursday. On YouTube, ISBHPK Norfolk Live. ISBHPK Norfolk Live. Kizaki will be having class starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I believe that is, if it's 7, I think it's like 4 p.m. Albuquerque time, if I'm not mistaken. And then 6 p.m. Texas time. So with that, my name is Mashaba.
Hi, Ma.
We would like to say shalom.
Shalom.